Hi, I'm John Green. Welcome to Crash Course Religions. So in 2021, the unmarked graves of over 200 Indigenous children were found at the site of the former Kamloops Indian Residential School in Canada. Between the 19th and 20th centuries, hundreds of thousands of Indigenous children were sent to schools like this one across Canada and the U.S. There, they suffered physical, sexual, and spiritual abuse, often at the hands of the priests and nuns who ran many of these institutions. To understand how this tragedy occurred, we need to dig deep, deep enough to uncover the tangled, knotted roots of religion and race. So let's start with a simple but profound truth. Race is not, like, inherently real. It's what we call a social construct, a category that came about as the result of humans doing that human thing we're so fond of, creating categories. Race is often defined by a person's skin color, behaviors, attitudes, geographies, demeanors, languages, and yes, even their religion. Throughout history, we've often assumed that race was a natural category, that it existed on a biological level even, and that it was also natural for societies to order themselves around race. People in power have found all kinds of ways to reinforce and often redefine what race is for the benefit of those power structures. But today, scientists agree that there's no biological evidence of race, which you can learn more about over at Crash Course Biology. So in that sense, race isn't real, but of course race is also very real in the sense that it has real-world impacts on people's everyday lives. It affects our mental and physical health, plays a major role in economic inequality, and can influence everything from a person's job opportunities to the way their communities are policed and governed. To be clear, race as a category isn't good or bad. It's just one more framework for understanding the world around us. The harm comes, of course, from racism, which is much more than just individual prejudice. It can also take structural or systemic forms. Like the nuns and priests at the Kamloops school may have held racist ideas, but it wasn't their individual acts of racism that led to the deaths of over 4,000 Indigenous children across Canada's residential school systems. It was a racist power structure that removed those children from their homes and forced them into awful living conditions with very little oversight. These schools were often run by churches, most notably the Catholic Church, with the backing of the government. Children were forced to adopt Christian names, give up their traditional clothing and lifestyles, speak only English or French, and convert to Christianity, and if they didn't, they were often met with severe punishment. The idea was that Indigenous people in Canada needed to be rescued from their uncivilized lives and culture. That was institutionalized racism at work, supported by existing power structures that saw the, quote, Indian race as inherently inferior to the, quote, white race. Which, of course, just to state the obvious, was ridiculous for a number of reasons, not least of which that there was no Indian race before white Europeans colonized the Americas. The people who lived in Canada and the United States belonged to numerous tribes and nations and belief systems. But white settlers racialized Indigenous people into a single collective group, essentially creating a race by acting as if these hugely diverse groups were all the same because they had similar skin tones and, like, shared a continent. Throughout history, people have also wrongly racialized others with different skin tones. American Muslims, for example, are often perceived to be part of a single hereditary unit, a single race, despite hailing from all over the world, identifying with every race and speaking languages from every corner of the globe. I mean, the country with the largest Muslim population is Indonesia. The fifth largest is Nigeria. The 19th largest is China. And this logically incoherent blending of religion and skin tone and other traits to make sense of and often subjugate people has been at play for centuries. The scholar Geraldine Hang argues that going back to medieval times, the concept of race and religion were inextricably linked. European Christians sought to define themselves in opposition to Jewish and Muslim people. The medieval church even demanded that these groups wear special identifying badges. And this contributed not only to the racialization of Jews and Muslims, but to the concept of whiteness itself. Then, in the late 15th century, this link between race and religion was formalized in a way that would reverberate for centuries to come. I'm talking about the doctrine of discovery. Pope Alexander VI, widely known as one of the worst popes with his four illegitimate children, a man who truly could not follow rules despite his making of rules. Anyway, that fellow laid out this doctrine in a public decree that essentially gifted the entire uncivilized world to Spain and Portugal. By the way, the definition of uncivilized in this case is not Europe. The decree declared that any, quote, barbarous nation not already inhabited by Christians should be overthrown and brought to the faith itself. I mean, what a bold call to give half the world to your own country and the rest to Portugal, the country that never won a World Cup, even with Cristiano Ronaldo? So this doctrine of discovery would become the legal basis not only for Spanish and Portuguese colonialism, but for all European colonization. And not only that, the same decree was returned to decades and centuries later as a legal precedent to justify the removal of Native Americans from their lands and further the transatlantic slave trade. So yeah, not a great record for the doctrine of discovery. It was even enshrined into American legal precedent in 1823 when then Chief Justice John Marshall declared in a Supreme Court ruling that the principle of discovery gave white settlers the right to land once occupied by Native Americans. So one of the reasons it's so difficult to untangle race from religion is because the two have rarely, if ever, been separate. In fact, quite the opposite. They've sort of co-evolved. Throughout history, power structures have often reinforced and redefined both ideas together to further their goals. And we can see this play out in more modern U.S. history, too. For example, in 1942, a Yemeni Muslim immigrant named Ahmed Hassan, who had been a resident of Detroit for some time, petitioned the U.S. for naturalization. But the court denied him, claiming that his skin color and country of origin didn't, quote, fit with the American lifestyle, ultimately declaring Arabs as a class are not white and therefore not eligible for citizenship. The court also cited his religion and claimed that a wide gulf separates Islamic culture from that of the predominantly Christian peoples of Europe. And to paraphrase Faulkner, the past ain't dead. It ain't even really past. We continue to see the law treating race and religion as overlapping concepts leading to ongoing inequality. This has been especially clear in the decades following 9/11, when in countless instances, any number of visual cues, from skin tone to head coverings, have been taken as indicators not only of a person's religion, but of their potential status as a threat. In fact, in 2011, the Associated Press published a series of investigative reports that revealed the NYPD had been secretly surveilling Muslim communities in New York and nearby states for nearly a decade in the name of national security. A secret group inside the department, called the Demographics Unit, had been collecting information on what it called ancestries of interest, which included people from nearly every Muslim-majority country, as well as Black American Muslims. The NYPD worked closely with the CIA to map and monitor Muslim Americans in what many saw as acts of religious and racial profiling. Because again, even though we're talking about people with a huge variety of skin tones, cultures, backgrounds, languages, and everything else, Muslims as a class in the United States have long been treated as a race. This goes all the way back to like Thomas Jefferson writing about Mohammedists as a class or group or race of people. So over the centuries, we've created all these ideas about race and religion and laced them together in knots tighter than a tangled string of Christmas lights. But here's the thing about humans. Despite all the terrible things we've done to each other, we're also incredibly and remarkably resilient. In 2015, the National Center for Truth and Reconciliation in Canada took up the task of gathering stories and historical documents related to the country's residential school system and its treatment of Indigenous people. The U.S. followed in 2021 with the Federal Indian Boarding School Initiative, citing the discovery of Kamloops's unmarked graves as the spark for creating it. The goals of both groups are to not only bring awareness to an often forgotten piece of history, but also to heal intergenerational trauma and help restore the dignity that was taken from Indigenous peoples in Canada and the U.S. Many of the children who survived these schools are still alive today, and as adults, they're speaking out about the horrors they witnessed and finding communities amongst themselves. Some scholars argue that the American Indian movement of the 1960s and 70s, which sought to revitalize Native culture, can be traced back to intertribal communities and bonds that were built in the boarding schools. And in 2022, a year after the graves were discovered at Kamloops, Pope Francis visited the site of a former residential school in Canada. According to the National Center for Truth and Reconciliation, at least 15 children are known to have died at the school between 1895 and 1975, when it finally closed. Survivors told the committee they were beaten and abused for speaking their native languages and practicing traditional ceremonies. One survivor, Florence Sparvier of the Cowessess First Nation, said, "We had our own way of honoring ourselves and Mother Earth in our own homes when we were little, but we had to leave all that." The Pope issued an apology during his visit, asking forgiveness for the acts carried out in the name of Christianity. And while some saw it as a turning point, they also acknowledged that there was still plenty of pain and hurt in the community, and that the road to recovery would be long. A year later, in March of 2023, nearly 500 years after the original Doctrine of Discovery decree, Pope Francis officially renounced the doctrine. Race and religion are complex, overlapping systems of identity, and while neither are truly natural categories, both matter. They matter because they can do real harm, but also because they can do real good. Plenty of people have found meaning and joy in their racial identity and culture, just as they have in their religious beliefs and practices. But to address the injustices of racial inequality, we need to understand where they came from. After all, the past really ain't the past. In our next episode, we're going to take a look at the end of the world. I'll see you there, unless the world ends next week, which, I'll level with you, feels possible. Thanks for watching this episode of Crash Course Religions, which was filmed here at our studio in Indianapolis, Indiana, and was made with the help of all of these nice people. If you want to help keep Crash Course free for everyone forever, you can join our community on Patreon.